everyone. Welcome to Musician Coffee House. This is Grace Pack. Thank you for tuning in again. I know it's been a while since I've been posting, but here I am again sharing wonderful stories from outstanding musicians out in the world who I've met by far. And today we have a special guest today named Tomas. So hi, Tomas.
Hi. Hi, Grace. Thank you for having me.
Of course, likewise. Thank you so much for your time and just wanting to be one of our guests today. So yes, today's title is definitely called Maestro's Melodies. Tomas here, he can definitely tell you about, you know, who he is and what he does. And it's going to be a bunch of words of wisdom. So if you have a paper and pencil, just write notes. But yes, Tomas, so what are you drinking today?
So today I have my homemade cappuccino from an espresso brand, and I got my water as well.
That's so nice. Yes, we always need water.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Awesome. I just have my citron tea. Yeah, because I'm a little sick today, so I'll be coughing here and there, but I'll do my best.
That's fine.
But yeah, so Tomas, tell us about yourself.
Basically, I'm from a little town from a country called Czech Republic in Europe. And I'm coming from a family of 12 kids. And my heritage is Roma. Some people call it a gypsy / Roma. And yeah, I started to play piano when I was 5 as a self-taught, because my dad was kind of wanting me to be a musician or a pianist or whatever. And I was until age of 12 self-taught. So I was basically playing music, gypsy music, which in our house, it's been played every day, Roma music. So I was kind of basically transcribing and learning by ear all the music what my parents liked. So I basically developed my own technique, and my ear training was actually fantastic, because I was able to transcribe or learn those songs later on. Even just one time I listened to any song and I was able to play that song already. And coming up with my own accompaniment and basically kind of a little bit variations on that song. Yeah, and then I believe in age of 12 or 13, I started to go to like a music school and learn like scales and reading sheet music. That was a little bit problematic, because you know, because it was, they basically tried to me to learn how to follow the rules, and it was a little bit hard for me, because before that I didn't have any rules. The music was freedom for me. But it was definitely important part of the journey, the learning the sheet music. And fast forward, then I went to the music conservatory, where I was studying for 4 years. My major was classical piano, even though I was improvising as a beast. But I fell in love with Chopin in the age of 16, I think, and I wanted to pursue the classical, or pursue learn as much as possible about classical world. And after the 4 years at the conservatory, I went to Academy of Performing Arts in Prague, which is the best school in the country, where I did, when I finished my master's degree in classical piano. And after I graduated there, and I got a scholarship into Berkeley in Boston, surprisingly with the majoring in CWP, which is Contemporary Writing and Production. And that's where we met as well, as friends, right?
Yeah. We sure did.
And I graduated in 2017. And right after graduating, I moved to LA. And now I'm in LA already for six, seven years. Oh my goodness, yeah, 7 years. And I have 2 kids now, 2 small kids. My son is 5 years
They're
old.
So cute.
Thank you. My daughter is 3 years old, and I perform, I compose, I write, I arrange. I'm arranging music for different different genres, different projects. Yeah, and I think I could say I'm living my dream. I live my dream. Yeah.
Wow, that's so, so amazing. And I just have to go back to when you said you grew up in a really big family, so you have 11 other siblings?
Yes, that's right.
Wow. And does all of them do music too, or?
All of them, I could say they are musically talented, but nobody decided to pursue music like professionally. Even though my younger brother, he plays piano, but he never studied piano anywhere. My sisters dance and sing. They are very good in singing as well. But again, never studied anywhere, never learned music like officially.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're the only one that kind of pursued that route, right?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And yeah, so we did meet at Berkeley. I believe it was through a project that you had. And I believe it was Songha who needed a substitute. So needed me to like play over a cello part that you needed. Mm-hmm, I remember mm-hmm. meeting at you like this small studio, 160 building. And that's when it all started. So that was really nice. And then from then, we just kind of like kept in touch here and there.
Yes.
I remember when I moved to LA for an internship, I was rooming with Amira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we were going to go visit you, but then I think our times like didn't match up because like we were kind of far off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I have to ask, like, you know, after going through so many like music schools, like master's degree, what made you attend Berkeley? Like, I know you got a full ride there, but then what was your motivation behind it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think Berkeley was always a dream of mine since I knew about Berkeley, which was, I believe, around age of 15. I heard the name Berkeley, that many jazz musicians go there, and like only the best jazz musician. So the reputation in Europe or in my country about Berkeley was and is that it's the best jazz school in the world, which is not entirely true, but that's what we kind of know about Berkeley in my country or in Europe, I would say. And in that age 15 and 16, I was kind of I went into the into jazz by myself, like listening to a lot of like Oscar Peterson and those kind of musicians. And yeah, that was kind of one of my dreams too. Oh, how great it will be if I can be in this best school in the world, right, for jazz. Mm-hmm. And after finishing all my studies in the classical field. I kind of realized that the classical music, I mean, it's beautiful, of course, by studying so many years classical music, I kind of realized that I don't need any teacher anymore. Or like, if I want to learn Mozart piano concerto or Tchaikovsky, which I never played, I have the score for it, you know, there's nothing it can get wrong, because I can download the score and I can learn it by myself, and that's it, you know. And by going through so many teachers, and so you would kind of know all the problems, what you have to look out for, and all the technique issues. And if there is some technical issues, you know kind of how to practice it already. You know how to make it overcome the issue. And I was looking for a way what else I should learn in music. And mm-hmm. Berkeley was the answer. And I tried the audition and it worked.
That's amazing. Wow. Awesome. You also mentioned that you found your inspiration of music through your father.
Basically, my father was kind of, you know, as a kid, I honestly don't believe that any of 5 years old enjoys music or loves to practice. You know, it's like they might kind of like it, but I don't think that's what 5-6 years old kid enjoy. Like, honestly, you know, I think they enjoy playing games or like playing with their toys. You know, and if they practice, you know, they might like it, but they're not really. I didn't honestly like it, but I was pushed to it, right? So you need somebody to keep you consistent in your practicing or whatever you're doing in your music right. journey. And that's why the parents are very important, right? To look over you and just remind you that you gotta practice, or you gotta just have fun with that instrument, whatever you do. And that's how you develop something what is very important in the musician life, is the music ethic, right? And being sure. consistent and be consistent in whatever you do, and you can apply all those rules basically on anything you do in life, not just music. And so now I can be thankful to my dad that he was kind of pushing me to practice, you know, and to always be at the piano. So in the sense, my dad was the inspiration as well.
Awesome. And then how about your mother? Was she supportive in your music journey?
I will say yes. They were always, both of my parents were supporting me and trying to support me in whatever I do. And at the beginning, it was kind of their dream, right? Their dream to... Mm-hmm. Because when you are 5 or 6 years old, you probably don't want to be a concert pianist, you know. You probably want to be a firefighter or a policeman or something like that, or superhero.
Yeah.
but then it slowly turns, becomes your dream as well, you know.
For sure. Yeah, that's amazing. I think that's amazing that you come from a family who like supports your dreams and who have made you like consistent in your music journey as well. That's amazing. How was your music journey like during the pandemic? Like, did you have to like go through anything that like any obstacles, or was it actually like beneficial for you? Or
surprisingly, I would say that the COVID was beneficial for me, because it didn't actually I would say 60 to 70% of my work, what I do nowadays, like I would say after Berkeley or like after moving to LA, is work from home, which is great. And actually during the COVID, it actually became more beneficial and more often, because we couldn't go anywhere, right? We couldn't go anywhere. So a lot of work as far as... writing scores or orchestrating or writing music in general is been done basically from my little studio here at home.
So
for me it was I got actually more busier than before.
Gotcha. So you work from home, so meaning that you get to spend with your kids a little bit more at home.
Yes, that's what I love about the that's why I call it the dream came true, because I'm on my own schedule. Basically, I can work anytime I want. I'm home with my kids, with my wife. So I'm always on the side, you know. So it's not like that I'm somewhere far away for a long time and I don't see my kids growing up. And so I'm present basically all the time, you know. So and I think it's it's something what can be really replaced, the presence, you know, to be present with your kids, especially in this early age.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's amazing. Yeah, because I was just going to ask you, how do you balance out your career with your, you know, own personal life? But you really won the jackpot of just working from home.
No, but
and you're living the dream.
Yeah, of course it has its own obstacles too, having small kids and being home, because as you said, the time management, it gets tricky, right? So now you now they are both going to preschool, so it's easier, but still when they come home, you know, they want to play with you, you gotta do so many stuff with them, and you know, so I had I think that's what I learned at Berkeley, actually, the time management, because there was so many stuff you had to do at Berkeley, so many homeworks, and you had to do so many research and also networking, and you had to find people to play for you and to record some project for you, and you had to still practice your own instrument and do this and this. So I think I learned a lot of about the time management. So, and as of right now, I kind of find out, you know, as you get older, then, you know, your body kind of stopped to work, you know, like it doesn't work like in your early 20s, you know, it's like gaining weight and, you know, you feel like it's hurting, your back is hurting and stuff. So, you know, you gotta start like working out and stuff. So after the kids, I kind of adjusted my schedule totally in a little bit weird way where, so I wake up super early. I wake up at like 4:30 a.m. Yeah, I know, every day. I mean, Monday to Friday, Saturday I get to sleep in, but Sunday I wake up early because I go to church. Yeah, so I wake up early, very early, and I go to first thing what I do, I go to gym at 5 a.m. I have a class 5 to 6, and it just works because they are still sleeping at home, you know. So I do my own like self care. Done in the morning when everybody's sleeping, you know, and then I come home and I'm like full of energy, you know, and it's that's kind of my I will say mental health as well, not only physical but mental health kind of procedure, or how would you call it?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. And when you mentioned about church, I was just gonna ask you, like, I feel like LA, it's for me it was really difficult to maintain of not just only going physically to church, but also faith as well, because you're surrounded by with so many creatives who really would do anything to be at where they want to be. And it's just like, I don't know, there's this like quote where like, oh yeah, it's like, you won't find Jesus in LA or something like that. How do you balance out with you being involved in the music industry, but at the same time, like walking in faith through that?
So before I actually came to, you know, I was always a religious person, but in Europe, the churches just works differently. It's very, very traditional and very kind of strict. You know, you can't even talk in the church. It's very like Catholic, like, you know, all the statues everywhere, you know, and it's super cold in the church, even though it's super hot outside or super cold outside. Very gothic almost, you know, it's different. And here, when I came here, actually in LA, so I got, I found a job. For the first couple of months, I got a job as a pianist in the church. It was very small church, you know, and it is very small church. So I first started as an accompanist, like every other week. I've been in the same church since then. It was since 2017, late 2017. Slowly, after going week by week, you know, for me, as English is not my first language, you know, it was more harder actually to understand the scripture and the everything of the word, right? The Lord's word. And but slowly you get into it, and surprisingly, you know, the music is the reason the Christian music is the reason what deepened my faith, and like in general, you know. So now I'm a musical director at the church. Now we have a band there. I have a big band, or like big band. I have a band. I have the singers. We play all the, you know, CCM. Beautiful music. I just found myself there so much, you know. I think the fact to like have a faith or belief in something, whatever it is, I mean, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be Christian, you can be any other religion, or but just the believing in something and having faith, it's very important part of life in general, because people get easily lost if they don't have something, let's call it superficial, what you can't really touch, or what you can't really feel, or like, I mean, you can feel it, you can't really touch it. You can't touch Jesus with your hands, right? But you know something is there. You know something is there. I think that's the very important part of, should be part of everybody, every human being. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's a really, really good point. I think I always put you at such a high pedestal, such as like a wise person. So like, you know, like I just asked because I was just curious, like what your process was. I kind of knew that you were like in good hands anyway, so
thank you.
And how often do you get called to travel?
Usually it's a couple times in a year. It used to be more often, but after the kids, so, and I kind of got, you know, used to it, been around. So I got a manager who is taking care of my gigs in the Czech Republic, and she basically takes care of all the marketing and all the stuff, you know, and finding the gigs. And in my country, it's very easy. It's very easy for her because I'm well known and kind of everybody wants to get me there, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And here I'm going just 3 times. Mm-hmm. Which is more than enough because one of the trips is like 3 weeks, so I'll be 3 weeks gone, which is a tour. So I will have about 13 shows in 20 days. And I'm trying to like condense it in 2 weeks at max, to be gone at 2 weeks at max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you just doing this by yourself or is your wife helping you? Because I know she also went to Berkeley too, right?
Yeah, my wife went to Berkeley. Her name is Grace too. she was a singer-songwriter. I've done some projects with her. I invited her to she collaborated with me on some projects what I had. But yeah, I got the manager for Czech Republic. But as far as here in US, I do most of the stuff just surprisingly. From the networking what I developed, what I made at Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you say like your most proudest moments would be? Like it could just be more than one. Something that like you've accomplished and you were like, wow, this is like... I'm so proud of it.
You mean in my career or in my like life overall?
Yeah, let's say, yeah, career.
Yeah, in the career it'll be probably the Carnegie Hall recital. That was actually what kind of changed my career a lot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, back home, if you say you had a recital at Carnegie Hall, you are like you're a god almost, you know? It's like, you know, yeah. It's the same thing like you said, same thing you said, you graduated Berkeley, right? It's a big deal, you know? Yeah. It's a big deal for them, you know? And so that was a kind of starting point. And then recently, last year, I had a big concert in Prague where the president of the country was in the first row with his wife, and tons of the politicians were there attending my concert. It was actually followed by I don't know if you saw that, but I also got an honorary silver medal from the president, like those people.
Ooh.
I got this actual medal like for life achievements. You know, I was like, what the? I was like, hey, I'm not 60, 70 years old yet, you know? but yeah, this like the reason, like the official statement of that was like for inspiration to like a young generation, you know? So which was big honor, you know, big honor. And they usually choose like about 12 or 13 people from the country a year, mostly like people from like... sports, you know, or like I was the only one from the like a musical scene. Yeah, so yeah, it was a big deal.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely huge. Like you're definitely way and beyond for sure. Oh my goodness. Wow. You know, the Lord is just like blessing upon your life so much.
Yeah, I think so. I'm grateful.
What's one or two life advices that one of your mentors or coach have said to you that you keep till this day?
One of my mentors back home, she always used to tell me, you gotta be honest to your music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning whatever you play, whatever style of music, whatever, you gotta believe in it, you know? And you gotta feel it. If you don't not gonna believe in it, then the people are not gonna believe in it. You know, the audience.
Right.
Yeah. So that was I think very important kind of lesson. Like generally about music, I think it all comes to the fact what kind of human being you are. You know,
mm-hmm.
It all whatever you do in your life, if it's music or any type of art, any type of job. It becomes what kind of heart you have, what kind of person you are. And I think because music is just, you know, just the third person basically to project your feelings, right? And who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it comes down what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
You gotta always strive to be the best version of yourself. You can be honest person and humble, you know. Being humble, being honest, being like hardworking and more like spreading love than hate, right? I know it sounds like a cliche, but it comes to the small, like a little details, like, you know, smiling at people, you know, and saying thank you to people. And, you know, those little, I think, little acts, they always count, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's what I feel.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, it's always like those small things that can really change into perceptions, even like the slightest smile to somebody. Or I truly believe that taking care of yourself should be like a main priority, because your audience can feel that from you. Music to the musician, it's like in one, and like if they hear that, yes, you might be playing everything spot on, like correctly, but then if the musician is not present with the music, they can definitely notice that. And there's like this this detachment for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I like how like you pointed that out, because that is really important.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. And I know you said that, you know, you're living your dream goal right now, but is there like anything more that you're like seeking to achieve, like career wise or it could be like life too, the personal life?
Yeah, you know, in the I think as far as career, there is so many goals you can have, you know. It's just, it's probably never ending. Unless you are like John Williams, you are like 90 years old and you got like 40 Oscars and 40 Grammys, and like, oh, my goal is to have 45 or 42 of them, you know. It's just kind of endless, yeah. Kind of endless. But yeah, of course, those goals are like, you can, I think goals are very important of the journey and of like your like a development, and because that's kind of what motivates you as well, right? As to work on your craft more and more, right? If you kind mm-hmm. of don't set those kind of I always say impossible to reach goals, then you kind of, you know, become lazy, right? And it's like, okay, I already did it, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you say like, hey, I want to win for Grammy, sure. And I want to win Oscar for my music, or like, you know, it's just the vision. You got to have just the vision, right? Vision which might sound impossible. And you know, I liked what Elon Musk said. I don't know if you like Elon Musk, but I do.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but he said I read somewhere, he's like, I know that in like 30 years or in 20 years we'll be going to Mars for like a vacation. That's what he said. He said like, mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm gonna do that. I don't know yet, but I know that it's gonna happen. You know, like, I don't know how I'm gonna go there, because we don't have the resources for it yet, but I know it's gonna happen in 20 years. You know, it's like, that's basically the vision, yeah. Right? And you got to have faith for it, right? So let's say my vision will be, I know that one day I will be standing on the Oscars stage, and I will say thank you to my parents and to my, you know, to my wife and my family to being with me on the journey for and holding that Oscar, right? How am I going to do that? I never wrote music for a movie yet, you know? I don't know how am I going to do that, but I know it's going to happen, you know? Just kind of just... Yeah. Having the faith for it and just thanking God already for that thing which didn't happen yet, you know, but kind of happened in the vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I exactly know what you mean. Like I said, words of wisdom, and I hope you all wrote that down. Thank you, Elon.
Yeah.
But awesome. And, you know, before we end our episode, I do want to ask you just one last question. Which is like, what do you hope to see more within our music industry?
I wish that the melodies come back to the music. I think music scene and overall missing or lagging on like beautiful melodies. It used to be, you know, back in the days, and nowadays it's more. It's just you know, it's missing. It's missing. It's more missing the melodies. I hope that the beautiful melodies will come back to our music.
For sure. I know exactly what you're saying. It's like nowadays, I feel like trend setting is the goal, where you kind of like pop off for a couple of weeks, months, and then next music trend comes. So it's just kind of like, it's just like being kind of forgotten instead of like an actual like great quality of music.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the Netflix show about Michael Jackson and doing the song We Are the World, if you remember.
Oh yes, I watched that. I love that song.
You know, if I just by watching that video, you know, and I actually didn't know even how it happened, you know, it just kind of It's 30 years ago, 30, and it was in the 90s, right?
Yeah, about 30, yeah, it was around,
Like, nowadays, nobody does that, you know, or like, I don't know, I can't imagine, like, Drake and, I don't know, Taylor Swift and all those, like, top names get together and write a song like this, you know, or, like, sing a song, like, I would love to see something like that, you know, nowadays, you know. With the biggest stars, worldwide stars like Ed Sheeran and all, everybody, you know, who worldwide stars, you know, and to put something together like that, that's missing too, you know. It's a music for a purpose, for a cause, you know, for deeper purpose, not just numbers as far, not the followers, numbers or views or dollars, but it's just for the good reasons, you know.
For sure, there is like importance of when it comes to, you know, numbers and money, but I feel like the most important factor, the quality of music, is definitely missing. And when I watched that documentary, first I got really sentimental because I was like, wow, like that era, that time, that was like just I just felt like there were like music was so transparent, so beautiful. It was like it was such a beautiful, well documented and like collaboration, because these were people who like took out of their busy time to do for this one good cause because they knew it would be worth it, and like they love music at the same time too. It's like it was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, Thomas, thank you so much for joining us for Musician Coffee House. It's been a pleasure just speaking with you and sharing words of wisdom, your artistry and such. I believe definitely if you want to hear some of his performance on the piano, his Spotify link will be down below and etc. So thank you so much, Thomas. And tell your kids I said hi, that Auntie Grace said hi.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here talking to you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Care.
Thank you. Bye.